Let us now turn to the Word of God for our worship, for our praise, for our instruction in righteousness. We turn to the book of Joshua and the fifth chapter. The book of Joshua and the fifth chapter. Commencing the reading at the verse 1, Joshua chapter 5. Verse 1 through to the end of verse 15. Let us hear the word of the Lord together, the Lord helping us, giving us that precious gift which He alone gives, a gift of faith to receive His word. It came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them any more because of the children of Israel. At that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make thee sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives, and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise all the people that came out of Egypt, that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way after they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land which the Lord sware unto their fathers, that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. And their children, whom he raised up in their stead, Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp, till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him, with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him, and said unto him, art thou for us, or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, I am now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth, and did worship, and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. May the Lord be pleased to bless that reading of his precious, infallible, inerrant, and sacred word, all to the glory of his name and to the good of our needful and never dying souls. Let us draw near again by faith in the Son of God. Dear congregation, I would ask this evening if you could please turn your very prayerful attention there to that Old Testament scripture reading that I read to you in your hearing there in the book of Joshua and the 5th chapter. As you know, for a good number of months now, we've been considering questions in Scripture. Questions in Scripture. Sometimes these questions, certainly if asked by the Lord, they're always going to be instructive. If even asked by men, sometimes they're instructive. But often it's the answer that the Lord gives that is highly and is always beneficial to our souls. We find that there is a question asked by Joshua, the son of Nun, the leader of the people of Israel after the servant of the Lord Moses has gone to be with the Lord. Joshua now has just entered into Canaan with the people, and they're on the very brink of taking the city of Jericho by the power of the Lord. And the Lord, in a pre-incarnate appearance, appears to Joshua, the son of Nun, and presents himself to be the captain of the host of the Lord's army and the leader of the people. And a question is asked of Joshua, and the response given by the Lord, and here the angel of the Lord. This is a pre-incarnate appearance, a theophany of the Lord, is highly instructive. We may ask, really, what is a Christian? We can ask that question, and there are many lessons to learn from Scripture. Really, what is a Christian, and what does it mean to belong to the Lord and to have Him as our captain, to have Him as our captain of our salvation? And we read in Hebrews that the Lord Jesus has become the captain of the salvation of the sons of God in bringing many sons into glory to make captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. And here in Joshua chapter 5, verse 13, let us pick up in the verse 13 and then we'll come and notice the question that Joshua the son of Nun asks the Lord. And it came to pass, Joshua 5:13, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. And you recall that this very one is the same one who appeared in the very burning bush before Moses. And the Lord even said unto Moses, Take off thy sandals, take off thy shoes, for the ground wherein thou standest is holy. The angels cannot command this, but the angel of the Lord Jesus, angel simply means messenger, the messenger of the covenant, and the very one in whom God's covenant of grace was to be sealed and vouchsafed by his own precious blood, commanded Joshua this reverence. Why? Because he himself is the Holy One of Israel. He himself is God. And as I said, the question here, Joshua asks, Art thou for us, verse 13b, or for our adversaries. And again, the answer which the Lord gives is extremely insightful. And he said, that is the angel of the Lord, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. Well, first of all, we must remark that it is a very solemn question. Art thou for us or for our adversaries? This was a formidable figure, a great one, Joshua understood, that was before him. A sword drawn, even the sword of the Lord drawn. And Joshua has to ask this question, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Well, it's a telling reply. In the first place, I want us to acknowledge this. This is a telling reply, because the reply begins with a no to both, in fact, and we need to understand it this way. Joshua is asking, are you on our side or on the adversary's side? That's the sort of the way he's asking it. And that's not the issue really, is it? We need to understand being a Christian is not simply adding the Lord to our life, but we begin to follow him. He is the captain of our salvation. Some people wrongly view that salvation is about the Lord meeting their needs. We hear that today, don't we? Well, the Lord will meet your felt needs. Whatever you need, the Lord will give it. Are you on my side, Lord? Are you going to fight my battles? Well, it's not about the Lord doing our bidding, but we doing the Lord's work. Who is on the Lord's side? That's the issue, isn't it? He is the one we follow. He is the captain of his people. If you turn there with me to Hebrews chapter 2 and the verse 10, we read this. And of course, a captain is one who is to be followed, not somebody who does what you want him to do. Hebrews 2:10, for it became him, that is Christ, for whom are all things. Think of it, the one who made the heavens and the earth, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. The only way he could become our captain of our salvation was through his sufferings. And yet he still is the captain of our salvation, captain of our lives, the one who leads men captive. He sets the prisoners free to serve him. He does not serve us. We are called to serve the living God. This really essentially is what it is to be a Christian. And then we read in verse 11, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee, and again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. There was a time when the Lord Jesus Christ didn't have a body, as it were, a human body. But he had these pre-incarnate appearances. We're told he took not on him the nature of angels. This is what the writer to the Hebrews says. But he took on him the seed of Abraham. That is all the promise in which Abraham would have in taking to himself bone of our bones and flesh of our flesh, the great high one would have to condescend. It became him for whom are all things and by him are all things, in order to bring many sons, Paul says, to glory, to make captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. But he could only suffer in becoming a man. God because he is holy and because he is omnipotent, cannot suffer, because he is pure. He had to take on himself humanity, but more than that, he had to take on him the sins of his people. They had to be laid upon him. Isaiah says, our sins were laid upon him. And the answer here from the Lord to Joshua is, Joshua asks, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And the answer which the Lord gives to Joshua, I say, is a very telling one. What the Lord is saying is, it's not about you. It's not even about your adversaries. It's about me. It's about my glory. It's about what I've come to do. What has he come to do? Well, you think about it. The people are going to enter into Canaan now. And as we thought this morning of this city of Jericho, it would become cursed. It is already cursed. It's under the curse of sin. But it would become particularly cursed. We know that the waters of Jericho were undrinkable. There was death, even in the days of Elisha. The city walls fell down, didn't they? Joshua was commanded by this very one that the people were to march around the city 7 days, and on the seventh day to march round again and again and again, and then eventually the city walls fell, and one house stood, and that was the house of Rahab the harlot, that sinner who trusted in the promise of God that her house would not be destroyed. She had told the spies, had she not, of how the people in the land had trembled because they had heard of the mighty deeds that had been done. I mean, we opened up this chapter, and as we opened it, we read of how the kings of the Amorites, which were in the side of Jordan westward, and the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until they were passed over, that their hearts melted. They not only heard of the parting of the Jordan, but as Rahab the harlot had said, we'd heard of what had happened to Egypt, what had happened to Pharaoh and his armies, how they were utterly destroyed, how they were consumed in the Red Sea, how God enveloped them and took them away in that great deluge in the midst as Joshua and the people crossed over dry land, but God brought back the waters again and completely consumed. Joshua, it's not about you. Art thou for us or for all our adversaries? It's not about you or about your enemies, but it's about the Lord. As captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come. That's not bad English. The good King James here uses this language to convey the fact that he is the I am. He has come. The great I am, the one who says to Joshua, take off your shoes. And we notice here how Joshua bows down and gives him obeisance. He worships him. It's a telling reply, isn't it? Nay, it's not about you, it's not about whether thou art for us or for our adversaries, but as captain of the host of the Lord I am now come. Again, people view salvation as about being God helping them through their struggles of life. Well, that is not why God saves. God saves primarily for his glory. Yes, he blesses his people in life. And his people follow him, and they obey. Joshua, meditate upon the law of God day and night, and thou wilt be prosperous in it. But you know, if we do not follow the Lord and his leadings, it'll not be well. Joshua, you do not meditate on this law day and night. You don't honor me as the captain of the host. There will be no blessing. Now all of God's people obey him as the captain. This is what it is to be a Christian. We We do not follow the Lord Jesus Christ for our own ends, for our own pleasure, but because He is God. Because He is God come in the flesh. And as we read there in Hebrews 2, it pleased the Father to give Him to become the captain of His people, to guide them as a captain would pilot the ship through this world, through the troubled waters of this world, and would lead us on Canaan's heavenly Jerusalem side. The Lord is the captain of His people. And I want to take you just for a moment to Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, and draw some parallels here. We have seen here the Lord addressing, indeed, Joshua, but Luke 11, we see something very striking again. And notice verse 14, and He was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, He casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of devils, and others, tempting Him, sought of Him a sign from heaven. But He, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against the house falleth. And if Satan also be divided against him, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. And then we have these words, He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. You see the language again. It brings our mind back to this question, art thou for us or for adversaries? No, it's not about that. The issue is, if you're not with me, you're against me. It's not about me fighting your battles. The battle is mine. This is a sinful world. And there is a real prince of the power of the air. And he has occupied the souls of many men and brought them into damnation. The very devil who sinned in the garden against our parents, Adam and Eve, has blinded the minds of the people of this world. And the people of this world want to use God in their lives. If they will have a God, well, He must be a God that serves me and my purposes. And you notice there's even a woman in this passage as we read on, that praises the Lord. What does it say? It says, you come down. After he spake these things, verse 27, a certain woman in the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. And notice our Lord's response. She says, Blessed is your mother. The mother that gave you birth. The mother that bare thee. But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. You see, she was full of praise. Full of praise to his mother. Saying, Oh, what a wonderful woman she must be. If you're this great preacher, how blessed she must be. But he says, No. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. They that honor God, they that see God as the one to be obeyed. That's the lesson, isn't it? Joshua, you must obey me. I am the captain of the Lord's army. I am the one to be honored. Joshua, it's not about you. Joshua, at this point, I'm sure he was a humble man. But how easy it is to even lose track of things. Think for a moment. Joshua is leading somewhere near 2 million people, Jews, and a mixed multitude with them, about 2 million altogether. They had crossed the mighty Jordan River. And the Lord draws near now. Look at verse 1 of Joshua 5. And it came to pass when all the kings, they had heard of what had happened, how the Jordan had dried up, and how their hearts melted, and there was no spirit in them anymore. Think of what God had done for His glory. And we read in this passage how for the first time now they eat of the land. Had God not been faithful? Had He not provided manna from heaven every day? Had He not provided water from the rock? And that rock, we are told by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 10, was Christ, from which they drank. The captain of the army is here, and he is to be honored. And you see, being a Christian is not, again, about the Lord so much fighting your battles. The battle is the Lord's. Joshua had to learn that as a young man. The battle is the Lord's. And that gives us such a different perspective on life. You see, the battle is this. We in our lives, we want, by nature, we want to be the God. We want to be the captain. We want to be the captain of our destiny. This is what I want to do in life. This is what I choose to do. Now God bless my plans. My friends, that's not a Christian. A Christian does what the Apostle Paul says, finding out what is pleasing and acceptable to the Lord. And I would ask, do you have that spirit in you? You see, until you see yourself to be lost, well, you're part of this world. You see, the part of the problem with the children of Israel is one of the reasons why they went to these other gods is they wanted these other gods, and they weren't really gods. There's only one God. These other gods, whether it be Baal, whether it be Ashtaroth, served a man's needs. Ashtaroth will give posterity, children, god of sex and pleasure. You even get false other gods, Molech, Baal, he'll give you plenteous crops. Well, that's the world, isn't it? Joshua, this is about me. I'm in charge. And when God saves us, He takes charge of the life. Do we yield to Him? When we're a Christian, we say, Lord, not my will, but Thy will be done. Nay, Joshua, it's not whether I'm for you or for your adversaries. That's not the issue. The issue is, I am the Lord, and you must, with the people, submit to me. For so long, remember how we've even read, for 40 years they perished. How many perished? Well, we're told well over 600,000 men perished from the age of 20 and up, who obeyed not the voice of Moses, who obeyed not the voice of the Lord. God spoke through Moses. And only Joshua and Caleb survived of that generation. You see, God is jealous for His glory. God must be obeyed. We read even how many were not circumcised. It was one of those ordinances. It pointed to the fact that a man needed to be circumcised in the heart, for circumcision is of the heart. And that's the problem, isn't it? That generation had served themselves. They'd not even obeyed the Lord's commandment. Such a detrimental thing. Well, God brought them out of Egypt, and they were coming now to possess the land. And many had imagined maybe God had forsaken them. Maybe even you think here of the Canaanites. I know I've mentioned this before in the preaching of the word. There are scriptural reminders that the kings of the east, even Egypt, had written letters to foreign kings warning them of these multitude of over 2 million people having left and Pharaoh's army destroyed. And they had heard of these prophecies that God was going to give the land. Now think of it, for 40 years, the Canaanites had thought, what's become of these people? And where are the Israelites? God has raised up another generation. And this generation, many have seen the mighty wonders of God. And they must be led of the Lord. And you think, now the Jordan has parted. They're on the brink of entering in. And when they get to Jericho and they start marching round, we read how they mocked the people as they marched round. Then all of a sudden, the walls fell. But for 40 years, they must have thought, God's judgment is not coming on us. These are fallacious things spoken of. These are fallacies. These are wild imaginations of these Israelites. But now they're seeing it all come to pass. We read in Ecclesiastes 8:11, because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Well, it's the same in this world today. What does Peter say? Peter tells us, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days, 2 Peter 3:3, scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they are willingly ignorant, that of by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Well, that is what Noah preached. But they ridiculed, they despised that preacher of righteousness. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. You see, because ultimately, God says, I will be glorified. The captain of the host will be glorified. It's not about you. It's not about me. The problem is, you see, sinners in this world will not bend the knee to Jesus Christ. He will be glorified. Our life is in him. In God's glory, in his honor being restored once again, every knee will bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord one day, my friends. And if we do not get behind that, and if we want God to serve our own sinful purposes, we're lost. We were never saved. And I'm afraid there is a lot of this so-called Christianity today. You come to God and, he'll just bless you. It's not about you. It's not about me, my friend. But it's about him. And we love him because he first loved his people. And he had to, in order to become the captain of our salvation, as we read, could only do it by becoming a man. What king would ever lay down his life for his subject members but the Lord Jesus? He's the King of glory, isn't he? He's the promised Messiah. All the kings of Judah and Israel, they're all sinners. Of course, the kings of Israel were worse, it seemed. But even the kings of Judah, they're sinners like the rest of us, aren't they? None of those kings could save. None of them could be priest at the same time as king, different offices. None of them were prophets, priests, and kings altogether, those three offices combined. We have one example of someone, we think of Melchizedek, who was both king and priest, but he was a sinner himself. He couldn't offer up himself for Abraham's sins. He had to bring bread. He had to bring the wine. But the Lord Jesus at the table, when he first instituted, he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. This is my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." And we get behind him in this life. And we gladly follow him. And we suffer for him. And we honor him in this life. Art thou for us or against us? That's not the issue. The issue is he is the captain. And what he says goes. And what he says we do, we do. Or else dare we ever call ourselves a Christian? Now, Christians will fail. But you know, when they fail, they confess their sin. They readily acknowledge it. And they bow the knee again. And they say, "Lord, renew in me a right spirit. Grant me all help to follow the captain of my salvation." Friend, where are you this evening spiritually? Are you seeking the Lord simply to take on your problems or to do his work? The blessing is he does take on the problems of his people. He gives wisdom, he gives grace, he gives guidance, yes. But first and chiefly first, he must be the captain of the life. He must be the one whose word we honor, even if it means our suffering, even if it means our hardship. We gladly suffer for him. Paul says, if we suffer with him, we will reign with him. Joshua, you suffer with me. And Joshua did suffer many reproaches. But Joshua knew great blessing, didn't he? And you know the name Joshua? It's a shortened form, the Lord Jesus, or Jesus is a shortened form, isn't it, of Joshua. We read this in Acts, how Joshua never, and even in Hebrews, how Joshua never gave them rest. But this Joshua, Yeshua, God saves. Jesus Christ, my friend, saves, doesn't he? But he saves his people from their sins. From wanting a God that cannot really satisfy. That's the gods of this world. But you see, our joy is in following him. It's a joy to follow the Lord Jesus, to honor him in this life. You can just look at the history of Israel, see the backslidings of Israel. But it was every time, wasn't it, when they didn't follow the Lord. He left them to the world. So what this morning, how Israel in the north followed into terrible apostasy. But his people will believe. And they do believe in the promised Messiah, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the captain of the Lord's host. And one day, friends, let me close with this. He will come with a whole host of heaven, with a multitude of angels, and he will gather his people together in his garner, and we will give glory to God because of all that he has done for us. Let us make sure we're on the Lord's side. We don't ask him, "Lord, you come and you do this for me. You be on my side." No. Think of the woman there. "Blessed be the wombs that bear thee, and the paps that gave thee suck." Rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Oh, if we love him, he says, "You will keep my commandments." Do we love him? This is what it is to be a Christian. Joshua was a military man, not used to taking orders, but now he must take orders. He was a military man, used to taking orders, not used to taking orders, but now he must take orders from the captain. And that's who we take our orders from. When we leave this place, the test of the heart will be, Who do you take your orders from? From the Lord. The task may be daunting, but the victory is through the Lamb, isn't it? All our victories are in Him. Well, the Lord will have His people, and they will bow, and He will bless them. See Him on Mount Zion with all His army in the book of the Revelation. Soon we will see Him as our captain, face to face. Joshua saw Him. And if we love Him, we will see Him not as our adversary, but as our friend. Art thou for us or adversary? That's the question maybe to ask tonight. Is He your adversary? Is your adversary if you, he that is not with me is against me? And if you're against Him, my warning is this, from the Scriptures, kiss the Son, lest He be angry and ye perish in the way. But blessed are they that put their trust in Him. Amen.